This is the Ethanol Report. During the 2013 Farm Progress Show, I spoke with Renewable Fuels Association Vice President of Research and Analysis, Jeff Cooper, about a number of topics related to corn and ethanol production. I started off by asking about this year's corn crop compared to last year.
It is a huge improvement over last year when we produced, you know, less than 11 billion bushels. We obviously had the worst drought that we'd seen in some 50 years. Yields just over 120 bushels per acre on average last year. So, anything is going to be a big step up from that. And I think even despite the weather anomalies we've seen this year and the heat stress that we're seeing on crops in some areas right now, we are going to pull out that record crop, I think, and that's going to rebuild stocks. We're going to see carry out probably in the range of 1.6 to 1.8 billion bushels of corn. So, more than doubling or possibly close to tripling where we're at with carry out right now.
Well, what has the ethanol production supply and demand situation been like this year?
We're expecting to use about 4.8 billion bushels of corn in the current marketing year. And again, that's on a gross basis. People forget that a third of the corn that we're using is actually animal feed and should actually be characterized that way in USDA's balance sheets. So on a net basis, we're using something closer to 3.2 billion bushels of corn because we're using just that starch to produce the ethanol. So on a net basis, that turns out to be something around 25-26% of the corn crop.
Well, how much ethanol are we producing here in the United States this year?
We're looking at about 13 billion gallons, somewhere slightly above 13 billion gallons, which is going to be pretty close to where we were last year. You know, we're still dealing with the effects of the drought and on corn supply, and stocks are kind of tight right now, and it's going to be kind of crunch time between now and this new crop coming in and harvest really kicking into high gear here in the Central Corn Belt.
How much are we using here in the country, and how much are we exporting?
Well, we're using about 12.8 billion gallons on an annualized basis. Last year, we exported about 700 million. I don't think we'll export that much this year, and again, that's because of the drought and the fact that we're producing maybe a little less ethanol, and our domestic usage has increased somewhat. But I think as this new crop comes in and corn prices come down, I think it's very likely that we could see close to 14 billion gallons in production next year, maybe more than that. And I would expect to see our exports rebound next year as well.
Where are we at as far as cellulosic ethanol production is concerned?
Obviously, we've taken our hits over the years for saying that cellulosic ethanol is just around the corner or we're just 5 years away. I can tell you today that we are very close to seeing the first commercial gallons of cellulosic ethanol. And I can say that without reservation. I mean, there are four plants that are essentially complete in terms of construction, and we do expect commercial gallons of cellulosic ethanol to be produced next year at scale. By the end of 2014, we expect at least four plants to be running full capacity. But the importance of the RFS moving forward, I think, is spurring and supporting that second generation of biofuels, the cellulosic plants.
What about the higher blends? 15% has been a year at this point. How many stations are we going to see growth in that?
We've seen about 30 stations offering E15. We expect that number to grow dramatically here in September 15th when the volatility control season ends for the summer. E15 really underscores the importance of the RFS and why we need to maintain the RFS and keep the pressure on to push past the E10 blend wall, and RFS is one way to do that. We feel like we're very near the point where the dam is going to break on E15, and we really feel like the value proposition is too great for retailers to continue resisting it. And I think, there are some retail chains who are poised and ready to start using and selling greater volumes of E15.
You mentioned this summer hiatus when they can't sell E15. Any chance that could be changed somewhere down the road?
Well, I mean, it's certainly something we've been working with EPA on for the last several years. We saw this as a challenge to E15, three, 4 years ago and began trying to knock down that barrier. And we've had limited success. EPA and our industry have a difference of opinion, I guess, on what the agency may and may not do in terms of volatility. regulations, and they have it in their head that they simply cannot either extend the 1 pound waiver that is currently given to E10. They say they can't extend that to E15. And conversely, they're not sure, they're convinced they don't have the authority to remove that waiver altogether for E10, which would kind of level the playing field for E10 and E15. That's what we've been asking for, is just be consistent in how you apply volatility standards to ethanol blends. And if you do that, whether it's through extending the waiver to E15 or getting rid of it for E10, that's going to help E15 get more of a foothold in the marketplace.
Because it's so awkward and unfortunate when you've got stations selling this, then all of a sudden during the summer they can't sell it anymore. It's kind of silly.
Yeah, it is, and it's really a matter of they can't get the right gasoline blend stock, a low enough RVP gasoline blend stock to make E15 meet the RVP requirements. It is very frustrating because it seems to us like there are simple solutions to this, but it gets bogged down in interpretations of the statute and EPA wondering what they have the legal authority to do and not to do, and whether Congress needs to get involved in kind of all these sticky issues, when it seems to us to be a pretty simple fix.
And that's Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association, and I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.